This morning I want to share something with you that is a common event for most of you. It is something that you do every year. You, along with 225 million other Americans, 75% of the United States population, every year you take a trip. So for some it's a little bit of a longer trip, so for some it's a pretty short trip, but you take a trip and you go to a chair. And there in that doctor's chair, you have various contraptions around you. One, it looks like a Frankenstein kind of thing, and it's got dials and switches and buttons and numbers and scales and lenses and all sorts of things on it. It's actually called a phoropter. And it's something that they place over your eyes there as you're sitting in the optometrist chair. And as the optometrist is flipping on this phoropter, which is actually just a nice elaborate case for his lens test kit, he's asking, is this clearer or is that clearer? Number one or number two? Number three or number four? And it's a very unique way for him to diagnose your vision problems. On that phoropter, there's lenses to tell if you have astigmatism, if you have cataracts. They have various things for that as well. And then they have you look at that chart. Can you read the third line down? E, Z, P, H, G. And the way that he determines which lens to give you is based on your feedback. The doctor knows which is the right one when you are able to see clearly. In a similar fashion, Jesus performs a healing kind of like this. In Mark chapter 8, take your Bibles and turn there this morning. In Mark chapter 8, it's kind of like Jesus is trying on different lenses for this man that he is healing. To give us a little background of the story, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus and his disciples are feeding a multitude again. They've already fed the 5,000, now they're feeding the 4,000. And the disciples pick up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. How's that for lunch for the rest of the week? They pick up these 7 basketfuls, and then there are some arrogant Pharisees looking for a miracle, and Jesus says, no, you will not receive a miracle from me. Then he and his friends quickly get into the boat, and they take off across the lake to the town of Bethsaida. Meanwhile, the disciples only have 1 loaf of bread. They left all the leftovers for the poor and the needy. And they brought 1 loaf of bread with them. And Jesus warns them, and he says, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And the disciples say, why are you saying that, Jesus? Is it because we brought only 1 loaf of bread? Sorry, we didn't bring enough for you to eat. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Then they bring this blind man to him. Let's pick up the story in Mark chapter 8, verse 23. So Jesus took the blind man, took him by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, it was a common practice back then for healing. When he spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. How does this lens look? Number one or number two? And the man says, he looked up, verse 24, and he says, I see men walking as if trees. They're a little blurry, kind of like blobs. What's going on? Is Jesus having a bad healing day? He touches the man once, and all he has is blurred vision. Where's the power of Jesus? This is one of the most bizarre miracles, because then the Bible says, then he put his hands on his eyes again, verse 25, and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw everyone clearly. Whew! Good thing the second time worked. How would Jesus' reputation have been if the guy was walking around with blurred vision and kept stumbling into things and the people said, what happened to you? Well, Jesus fixed my eyes, kind of, left me with blurred vision. What's happening? Did Jesus forget to pray to the Father that day and so his power was only half there? Were there some diseases that Jesus had trouble healing the first time? Are there some prayers that Jesus seems to have trouble answering? Why does it seem like when I lose my keys and I pray for God to help me find my keys, it happens? But then the countless times that I have prayed for a sick family member, it seems as if God is turning a deaf ear. Or what about the times when I have prayed for safety, for traveling mercies on a trip and safe travels, but accidents still happen, friends die? Or what about when I continually pray for victory over sin, but I keep falling into the same habitual rut? Or what about when I pray for friends, to have friends and new acquaintances, but everyone seems to ignore me? Or what about when I prayed for that test that I wanted to get good grade on, I knew I studied for it, but I ended up with a C minus, or worse, a D. Or even worse, a one-legged A. Or what about, you fill in the blank of an unanswered prayer. Does it seem that at times Jesus has trouble answering our prayers in the positive? Does Jesus have trouble healing diseases even today? When a father prays again and again for his son who has leukemia and the 17-year-old boy dies. Well, some may argue, well, yeah, Jesus, he's not with us in person today. He can't touch the person physically and heal them. So that's why he has a little trouble today. I don't buy that. I wouldn't agree to that. Okay, well, then what about at this time when Jesus is healing the blind man? He touched him. He was there personally with him, but it looked like he had some trouble healing him. What is Jesus trying to do or prove by giving this man blurred vision? Because it's one of the most, like I said, it's one of the most bizarre miracles. Usually Jesus will just touch the guy, touch the woman, and they're healed. Let's back our story up again. Let's back it up again. The disciples and Jesus had just left the sign-seeking Pharisees. They wanted a miracle. They scampered into the boat. Jesus and his disciples hopped in the boat quickly, forgot about grabbing some lunch on their little journey across the lake. This was going to be a rough journey across the lake. 13 guys, one loaf of bread. I don't know if you've ever been in a car on a road trip and you don't have much food and there's not much between you and the next destination. It can get a little hungry. And so the disciples are discussing about the bread that they forgot to get. And Jesus says this in verse 15, Jesus then said to them, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees." And the disciples say, okay, bread, all right. Are you saying that, Jesus, because we forgot the bread? We didn't bring enough bread. And I kind of wonder if Jesus kind of gives the flat hand to the forehead. Come on, guys. I'm not talking about bread. I'm not talking about the literal bread. And this is what Jesus says. He says, being aware of what they're saying, verse 17, Jesus said, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Guys, I don't care if you have one loaf or three loaves, one loaf or five loaves. I can produce enough food for all of us. So don't worry about the little bread. I will take care of your temporal needs. Think about it. When I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left over? 12? Okay, when I just fed the 4,000 that we just left from, how many baskets were left? Oh yeah, there were 7. Don't worry about that temporal bread. What I'm talking about, Jesus says, is the teachings of the Pharisees, the false truths that they are trying to creep in. Beware, he says of that. And then he says to the disciples, verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? Having eyes, do you not see? Are the disciples blind too? Do they have blurred vision? They see Jesus, they know Jesus, they recognize Jesus, they've been with him, but their vision about him is a little bit blurred. The disciples have been with Jesus for quite some time now. They've seen him perform miracles. They've seen his teachings. They've seen these things that he has done. And not too long ago, they were in another boat. Could have been the same boat, same lake. They asked the question, who is this man? For even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is he? The disciples had some misunderstandings about the mission of Jesus. They thought, you know, Jesus, you probably should have performed a miracle when they asked for one. It would have quieted your enemies. I mean, they asked for a miracle, poof, you show them something like a magician, they don't question you anymore. You got the power. Maybe they should have crowned you king after you fed the 5,000. That's what the crowd wanted to do to you, right? You should have done that. Maybe on that unbelieving city that we were in a few weeks ago, you should have called down fire upon them, done judgment to them right then. The disciples didn't realize that Jesus was headed to Jerusalem for a death mission, to be the sacrifice. Having eyes, they could see, but it was blurred. It's easy for us to look at the disciples and to say, those silly disciples, they should have known from the get-go that Jesus was the Messiah. They should have known what his purpose was. It's easy for us, knowing the whole story, to look back at the disciples. Hindsight is 20/20, right? When you look back, you can see, well, they should have known that. But quite frankly, I think, and I'm convinced, that if we were in that same situation, we'd be going, okay, is Jesus talking about literal bread now, or is he talking about spiritual bread? Is he talking about drinking real water, or is he talking about spiritual water? Well, I think that we would be confused just as much as the disciples were, and even today, after we have seen the story of the Gospels, we also are just as confused about the character of God. Many times we think that God is like a heavenly vending machine. You put in enough prayer quarters to the Holy Spirit and you'll get what you need. Go to church enough times, read the Bible every day, say enough prayers, do enough good deeds, ask Jesus, cash it in, like a heavenly vending machine. Or maybe we better watch out. We better not shout. We better not cry. We better be good, because Jesus is coming to town. He's kind of like a heavenly Santa Claus, maybe. Or maybe when we pray and we don't get the answer that we're expecting, we don't get the positive response, or God allows something negative to happen because of the sin in this world, and we say, look, see God? He doesn't care about me. He's just vindictive. He's cruel. He doesn't care about us here. And we have these misconceptions, these misunderstandings about God and his mission and his character and his grace and the way that he gives blessings and takes away. Are we blind? Do we have blurred vision? There is no short circuit in Christ's healing power. It was not a bad day that Jesus had, that he had to touch the man twice. He didn't forget to pray to his Father that day. No. Jesus strategically placed this healing to reveal to the disciples and to us that we also have blurred vision. Look at the context. Right after Jesus heals the man, he asks his disciples, who do they say I am? Who do they say I am? And the disciples say, well, these people, the crowd, you know, they say you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist, you're a prophet. You are someone who has been sent from God, but they don't understand him as being God. A little bit of blurred vision. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you, my closest friends, my compadres, my partners, my buddies, who do you say I am? And they say, you are the Christ. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Messiah. Now you're getting it, Peter. Now you're understanding. Now your vision is being cleared. Your eyes are being opened. Jesus placed this bizarre, two-staged, halfway healing to introduce the disciples coming to a clearer understanding about God, to a clearer understanding about his mission. Jesus is trying to help them see clearly. And so when you continue reading from this point forward, prior to the healing of this blind man, Jesus spoke nothing about the sufferings that he was about to have. He spoke nothing about his trip to Jerusalem, about his death and his resurrection. But immediately following Peter's confession, he says, I'm going to be taken to Jerusalem. They're going to hang the Christ, the Messiah, upon a tree. And he will rise again in the third day. And then the next immediate conversation is take up your cross and follow me. And then Mark chapter 9 talks about the transfiguration, preparing Jesus for his Passion Week. The strategic placement of this miracle, Jesus probably had to take his disciples through a physical realization of their spiritual understanding. He had to take them through this healing before he fully revealed his hardships. Prior to, their vision was blurred. Now they see clearly and they can understand Christ on a deeper level. Now that their eyes have been opened. So what about us? Are we blind? Do we have blurred vision? What is Jesus trying to help you see? Do we need a clearer understanding of his character? Do we need a deeper understanding of his mercy? Of his judgment for sin, of his love for mankind? Do we need Jesus to reveal the infidelity in our own hearts? Do we need him to illuminate the meaning of his mission? Do we need Christ to make clear and define our priorities? What is Jesus trying to help you see clearly? His name was Dr. Busby. He was my eighth grade teacher. He was not your normal eighth grade teacher. He was a retired PhD, not a medical doctor, doctor of philosophy. And he thought that he knew a lot. I respected the guy. The seventh and eighth graders, we loved him because he was kind of goofy, silly, and crude all at the same time. The parents, I don't think they really liked him. But he was our teacher for the year while the school was trying to find another permanent teacher. And Dr. Busby was the one who first noticed it. He said, "John, you need glasses." I thought, "No, I don't. I'm just fine." He says, "No, you need glasses because when you look at the blackboard, you squint." I said, "No, I don't." And then I realized I was. Things looked a little blurry. I analyzed the details of my life as an eighth grader, the basketball hoop. Yeah, that does look blurry. No wonder I'm missing all my shots. I was probably just a poor player too. I looked at the road signs as I was riding in the car. Hey, what does that say? Oh, okay, I think it says, oh yeah, now I can see it is blurry. I just kind of thought that's how life was, a little bit blurry. And so I told my parents, and they're like, "Okay, we'll take you to the optometrist." They took me there. He put me through all the details and everything and analyzed my blurriness. And he said, "Yep, you need glasses. You need contacts." So for the past 20 years, I've joined the remaining 225 million Americans wearing spectacles or contacts, which is what I'm wearing now. These are a little more updated from the 90s, so don't worry. I do have those still. The 90s look a little bad. But now that I have glasses and I have contacts, it makes my vision clearer. Kind of a simple fact. When I'm not wearing corrective lenses, it's hard to drive. Not supposed to drive. When I'm not wearing corrective lenses, it's hard to read signs at a distance. It's hard to read the clock on the wall. It's hard to play with my kids sometimes. It's hard to do normal things of life. But now that I can see clearly, I can understand things a whole lot better. In your walk with Jesus, in your spiritual journey, what is Christ trying to help you see better? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we have looked at this interesting miracle and as we've tried to understand the meaning behind it, may we grasp a glimpse of you. May we say with David in Psalm 119, "Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things of your teachings." May you clarify our vision. May we focus solely upon you so that we can see you better. Push away the distractions. Push away the blurriness of entertainment, of the busyness of this life. Push that away so that we can glimpse a clear picture of you. And go with us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.